Hey, it's Dawn McGrewer, the Business Growth Coach, and welcome to Dawn of a New Era, the podcast where we talk all things health, wealth, and happiness, and where founders share the good, bad, and ugly of being an entrepreneur.
So welcome to Dawn of a New Era podcast. So excited to have you here on the private island.
Thank you very much.
Who knew that we could have a private island in Lancaster?
Exactly.
And I only met you a week ago.
You did.
I feel like I know you already.
That's so kind. Same.
But I know that there's so much that you've done and you always shy away from your achievements. So I really want to explore the life and times of Susie. Mm-hmm. But like, let's go back, because anybody who's obviously following you, they probably know a little bit of your background. But let's assume we've got some listeners that don't know anything about Susie. So where did it all start, Susie? And you can choose from where you want to start.
Okay. So I had a wonderful upbringing. And I think that was a real solid base for me. And really hardworking parents. My mum worked for the Ministry of Defence. My dad was a professional boxer, artist. And I've always watched the two of them sort of help each other when times have been hard. And it actually turned out that my mum ended up being the breadwinner. And she's extremely fierce and she's very, very strong. And I think I always used to take that the wrong way, and now I just see why she is the way that she is. From a very, very early age, I always wanted to be an air stewardess. I just knew, at maybe 4 or 5, I knew I wanted to be an air stewardess. And I was so focused on that. And on my year six leavers book, you see everybody just say, I see you on the airlines. And then as soon as I could be an air stewardess at 18, so there was various sort of hotel jobs and things like that before, I started applying for the airlines and had a really nice career on the airlines as well. So I think that was wonderful. And at the same time, I met my now husband and things have sort of gone from there. So I always look back at that actually and always remember that I was so focused on that. I knew I wanted it and it happened. And I just think, like you were saying before, if you've got laser focus on wanting something, you do anything to make it happen. So that was how it started.
Yeah, it's all about conscious alignment, isn't it? And really kind of leaning into it. And we were saying before that when you're a child, when you really want something, you pull out all of the stops and you get it. And it's the same in adult life. So you started work obviously on the airlines. Which airline were you on?
Monarch.
Okay.
Does anyone remember Monarch?
I do, absolutely.
Yeah, it was such a great airline. Yeah, really, really high standards. Ran by the Italian mafia, actually. Really, really high standards of everything. So again, if any young girl wants to go and work on the airlines and people sort of shun it off, I would always say do it. It teaches you so much. It teaches you communication, customer service, dealing with a whole bunch of people, how to present yourself, getting up early at 3 a.m, traveling, like all of those incredible things. It teaches you. So I just think, yes, it was a really, really good base for what then came.
And was it as fun as they say? Because I have so many friends who used to be crew and things, and they used to have a wild time.
It was amazing.
Are you going to share any stories?
I mean, it was very tame, because as soon as I started on the airlines, I'd already met my husband. So there was no wild stories. Although I think in his head, every time I used to do a long haul, I'd have, captain on one arm and first officer on the other, lying on a beach somewhere. That never happened. But it was wonderful. And I remember pinching myself. We'd go to the Maldives and every time we went on long haul, we got paid per hour that we were away, double what we'd be paid just normal. And I'd just be there on a beach in the Maldives. And even at a young age, I was 20, 21, just thinking, wow, like feeling absolute gratitude. So I think that's something that I've always managed to do. Before gratitude was a huge thing, I always used to feel it. So it was fun. I always got laid off during the winter. There we were a sort of season, so every winter we'd have to go and do another crappy job, and then that's what led me into going into property and construction. So in one winter I started working for a big construction firm, Carillion, in the centre of Manchester, and they were looking for an air stewardess style person, type of person to sit on reception. And then I came in for a job with my bunny, and I think I had like a ribbon, And within 5 minutes, they were just like, you've got the job.
This is the lady.
This is it. Like, I just walked in and they were like, this is who we've been waiting for. And so I just started on the reception there. And then I was going to go back on the airlines to join on the summer. And I told them all I was leaving. And they basically just said, how much do you want to stay? And I was like, no, I want to be flying. And then when you start to ask friends and family, they're like, Susie, I think it's time, you know, you settle down now. And then, so I stayed in that job and very quickly became building manager, and then just saw incredible projects in and around Manchester and construction. And I was around architects and designers and big directors. And so learned a lot from that. And then we had some apartments in the city centre and they weren't selling very well. So my manager gave me the company credit card and she just said, Susie, go out and just buy a load of stuff and stage these properties, these apartments that aren't selling. And I didn't really know what staging was, but I went out and I got loads of bits and bobs and cushions and throws, and we hired in a load of furniture. And as I was doing it, and I was just left to my own devices to do it, and I just thought, this is definitely...
So this is where it all changed, and you found your passion.
Yeah.
So when you were there then, obviously, making all of these apartments look beautiful, mm-hmm. you went back, did they sell?
Oh, they went... Dum, 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 dum. They all just sold within about a week.
And then,
all sold.
So thinking then about what age you were at this point then, so you were in your flying career, and then what age did you have this pivot moment?
I was, I'm going to say around 24. 25, something like that.
And then did you have a feeling that this was going to be the next thing, that like this was going to turn into an actual full-time?
I just, like I was saying the other day, I very, very quickly on that day, in that hour, in that minute, knew that things were going to change. Mm. As soon as I was there in these apartments on my own, without a boss, without anybody, I just thought, this is exactly what I should be doing. And straight away I was like, I did an interior design degree and home staging courses and things like that. And I just knew, and I was trying at that point not to siphon contacts, but everybody then that I spoke to, I just made sure that I aligned it to doing something of that nature.
And so when did you branch out and like start your first business?
So it didn't actually happen. So I had my son, who's now 13, and I'm probably getting the timelines semi-confused here, but I had Benjamin, and when he was 6 months old, we moved to Brazil. So my husband's Brazilian. We moved to Brazil, and we were there just short of 2 years. So that took me away from Carillion, and they always said, you know, you can come back when you want. And that was probably one of the hardest things I ever did. I sort of, you know, semi-newborn, didn't speak the language, had no friends, but very quickly learnt the language. So such a blessing now I can speak fluent Portuguese, which is great because now I can communicate with all of my husband's family. And, you know, that was a wonderful thing that came out of it. And then when we came back, when Benjamin was about 2.5, I went straight back into Carillion. And then again, was learning more about interior design. And then I got pregnant with Nina. And while I was pregnant with Nina, I thought, okay, on maternity, I know I'm gonna go off and do it on my own. And it was honestly down to my husband, who was just so supportive. And a lot of people ask me for advice on this that don't have supportive partners.
Yeah.
And I know it's a million times harder, but he just said, listen, if we need to eat baked beans, if you need me to go and work at Tesco, we'll figure this out. And my mum as well, she'd just be like, Susie, if you want to do it, you will do it. You know, take a night shift, I look after the baby. And it's always, if you want to
That's
do
incredible,
it,
isn't
do it?
It.
Yeah, yeah.
And there'll be people listening to this, right, that don't have that support.
Yeah.
So, you know, people might say, oh, you were very lucky, you know, you got the support, you were allowed to go off and do things. What would be your biggest piece of advice, like if you found your passion mm-hmm. and you know that you want to do something, but you don't have the support, you might have kids, you might be single mum, you might not have a partner who understands or is willing to kind of go without or put it all in.
Yeah.
What's your advice there?
Somebody will help you.
Mm.
And people are scared to ask and scared to talk to people. And they're scared to talk to people about their dreams and their goals. And, you know, something I have to do, and I'm sure we'll come on to this now in my current role, we raise a lot of finance. You know, I've raised over 500,000. in private finance and at the big, this is only since last year. Mm-hmm. And it was all about forgetting and coming out of your head of asking for help and asking, you know, it's all just about talking to people. And, you know, I talk to people in shops, I talk to people in restaurants, I talk to people everywhere. And there's somebody out there who will support you and help you. And it doesn't always have to be financially. It could be, you know, say it is somebody with a baby and they don't have the support. They never know if they might talk to somebody who runs a nursery and says, do you know what? I believe in what you're going to do. I'll take your child in and you don't have to pay me. Or as soon as you get successful, there's always somebody that will help. And always believe that because they're out there.
And I talk to a lot of women who feel that, you know, they have to go it alone and that everything's on them. And it's not. Like, I think the biggest thing is that if you share a mission and vision with somebody mm-hmm. and they can see the passion, mm-hmm. I, often when I talk to them, the pivotal moments in a story is I met a person and I was at the absolute depth of despair or the biggest challenge or whatever. Yeah. And there's always a person in the story that's moved in.
100%.
And I think about this all of the time because we either have people who've inspired us mm-hmm. or we've had people who've helped us along the way. And then even when I chart back all of the times of like awful challenges and massive growth, mm-hmm. they're almost like combined, but there's always a person in that story. Who outside of your family has mm-hmm. been like the biggest inspiration for you or someone that you've admired or helped you along the way?
I would say our very first investor, also my business coach. I mean, my business coach, I could talk about him all day and he's changed my life massively. So two men, actually, funny enough, because my mum's a huge inspiration, but she's family. So two men specifically. So my business coach, but our very first investor. So when we decided to start flipping houses, because I'd already had my... We're sort of jumping back and forth here, but I had my design firm by then. My husband had quite a big construction firm and everybody just kept saying to us, why aren't you guys in property? Why aren't you doing property? And it was always that, well, we don't have that initial capital to buy the first house. And again, just talking to people. And we had a good friend, wealthy friend, and he just said, guys, I believe in you. Go. He literally just said, go and find a house. I'll fund the whole thing.
Wow.
And we were like, and that was just through talking and sharing our vision. And so my husband found this house, and it was 97,000, and we went, we said, here are the comps. And he just said, okay. And just transferred the 97,000. He said, I don't want anything. I don't want any interest. Here you go. Do well, guys.
Wow. That is incredible, isn't it?
Sorry?
That's incredible.
That's incredible. Mm. That's incredible. And he's, What a thing to do for somebody. And that's just through, I understand that's because Romeo and I are so hardworking and we've built a lot of trust that, you know, I understand our part that was played in that. But yeah, I'll never, ever forget what he did for us.
So that was your first house and your first business, yeah?
That was it. So we already had our businesses. So I had an interior design firm, Romeo was in construction, but we wanted to start getting into property, so doing flips and being property developers. So that's how that started. And then we sold that one, made a good profit. He's now stayed our investor, and now obviously we do give him a really good return on his money. But that was the start, and then it just rolled from there.
So if you think about someone starting a business, I think the biggest fear is the financial instability. And obviously you had the backing where it was like, whatever we need, we can make it happen.
Yeah.
What did you do to sort of fuel and finance that first business to get it off the ground till you got to that consistent cash flow?
Oh my God. Consistent cash flow is something that we are in it as property developers now coming into. But just going back to starting my staging business, because that's how it all started. I was pregnant with Nina on maternity leave. I then said to Carillion, I'm not coming back, and started with home staging. And gosh, Dawn, you should have seen the sort of projects that I was taking on. And I was dealing with, I had like a little advertisement in a Stockport magazine, and an old lady found me, and she was like my first client, and she was a hoarder, and she just, because I advertised that I did decluttering, and she just wanted me, that I had to pay for a girl to look after Nina, and it didn't even cover what this lady paid me, and she just wanted to talk to me. And I used to go there every week. But at the time, even while I was doing it, I thought, I know bigger things are coming. And I know I'm going to be telling this story one day. And I remember in her attic, there was always a floor. And I was like, oh my gosh. She's like, and can we do the attic? And I found a book all about manifestation, a really, really, really old book. And I just sat there reading this book, and then I took it home, and I still got the book now, and I wrote so many things in it. It was all about visualization, and yet that took me on a whole other journey.
Mm. So when you were obviously in the staging business, what was the pivotal moment when you were like, oh my goodness, like I've made it, like this is it?
I staged a really big house. So funny enough, our first investor, the one that, you know, just helped us with everything, it was his brother. And he had a very, very big house in Bowden in Cheshire, and he needed it fully renovating. So Romeo's team did the full renovation. I looked over the interior design and staging, and it was just phenomenal. And then a footballer ended up taking that one, and it was just great for my portfolio, made good contacts with this footballer, and then everything just rocketed from there. And then it went from staging to doing full-on interior design for quite high net worth clients, lots of footballers, and I ended up getting a studio and a team, and yeah, it really did snowball from there.
And what was the biggest challenge you had along the way, the point where like you thought maybe I don't want to be in this anymore?
Clients. Yeah, you know, it sounds incredible. I work for footballers. God, the pain of working for some of these footballers. And you know, the high net worth clients, it's incredible because, you know, the cash is coming in, but with anything, it just adds so much stress and the demands. And, you know, we were dealing with £2,000 rolls of wallpaper, and then, you know, one would come to site and it would be wrong. And I it's funny, even talking about it now makes me nervous, because I remember having so many awful conversations with clients to say, I'm so sorry, but the wallpaper's wrong, and they'd be so mad. And I remember a very, very famous Premier League footballer, Portuguese, I won't say it anymore, but we had a table delivered to his house, solid marble table, and he was there, all his family were there, and there was a big thing because it was going to be a big dinner, and it came on the very day, and it was all very stressful. And then we opened up the box and it was shattered.
Oh my God.
And I just looked at his wife, who scared the hell out of me. And she just sort of turned it back. And then I went outside, and I was crying my eyes out to Romeo. And I was saying to him, please, can you just go to my studio? Can you get the boardroom table? Can you get it in your van? Can we? And, you know, they could have just gone and just bought a table at Arrighi Bianchi. But no, I was like, and then we had another table delivered and the same thing happened. It was fully shattered. So those are some of the moments that I thought, what am I doing? Mm. What am I doing? I'm dealing with the uber wealthy, shaking, scared. Why am I doing that? What's it?
Yeah, living with anxiety.
What's it for?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think my husband saw that day in and day out, and I didn't quite see it. And that's when he kept saying to me 2 years ago, he just kept saying, I think you should start to come out of it. I was like, I am, and look at my team and look at the clients. And then he did get into my ear, and then I came to my business coach 2023, end of 2023, and said, I'm gonna close down the business, I'm gonna close it down, we're just gonna focus on property. And he just went, you're closing it down? I was like, yeah, I'm closing it down, I'm gonna close all my projects. And he was like, you're gonna sell it? I was like, who would buy an interior design business? Like, I am the face of it. Who buys an interior design business? And very long story short, I don't know whether we should go into that, but it was bought. And yeah, it was that was quite stressful, but such an achievement.
Selling's never as I think some people expect. I've gone through lots of sales with clients.
Yeah.
And it's a process.
Wow, yeah. Yeah.
But and there's also like, you know, there's lots of things you can do in advance of selling. Like the more clients I've seen, like the more I realize that, you know, if you get those foundations right in the business.
Yeah.
And I know you said that you had like amazing systems and processes. It makes it
easier. It was ready to pass over thanks to my business coach.
Yeah.
Like when I started working with him, I did an incredible Tony Robbins seminar 3-day, very, very intense seminar. And one of the things he just kept talking about was mentorship, coaching. Mm. He was saying things like, if your kid is going to get tennis lessons, get the best tennis teacher out there. If your child wants to play the piano, get the best piano teacher out there. Like, mm. if you really want them to do well, spend that extra money. And if you're going to get a coach or a mentor, get the best. And I remember finishing this big seminar, and I contacted, I don't know if you know Salim from Glossy, contacted Salim, who just knows everybody. Mm. And he was my first point of call. I said, Salim, I need a business coach, and they have to be the best out there. And he just replied with my coach, Carl Morris, and he just put Carl Morris. And I was like, okay. And yeah, Carl really took my business, which was almost like just like playing interior yeah. design, and he made sure that it was a business.
Yeah, systemized business.
Fully systemized. And, you know, I know we were talking about feeling comfortable. There was a time it got so perfect and good, and I'd have a session with him. I said, Carl, I just feel it's too comfortable. And he said, okay, well, let's set another goal. Mm. Set a goal to go and speak somewhere. And I was like, he was like, no, set that scary goal, because then you've got something else to focus yeah. on. So it was a systemized business. It was ready to just hand over. So yeah, I always say that to all my girls now who do interior design, and I always say, where are you going with this? Do you want to do interior design for the rest of your lives? Because they complain about things. I said, start getting everything into process now, all your systems, and think about when you're going to sell it. And I think that's good, and they're starting to really think about that now.
Yeah, and the thing is if you get all of the process in early, it's not just for the sales, it's the fact that everything feels more in flow, everything's easier.
Oh, for sure,
clients are happier, employees are happier. Yeah. So you've done really well, obviously, in business, and you're now into your full-on property development yeah. side of things. So tell us a little bit about that and where you see that going.
Okay. The great thing about what we're doing in all of my background is that we've started full pelt with property development with a very business-like mindset. And I know a lot of property developers sort of, it's very willy-nilly and they're not quite sure of any strategy. But from day dot, both myself and my husband, because we're in this together, we had roles and responsibility. We set meetings with each other. We've got a whole strategy planned for the next 5 years, and that's really it's happening. So it's just wonderful, and it's wonderful waking up and not worrying about the clients and the stress. It comes with its own stresses.
Yeah, sure.
We're sort of not allowed to use that word at home. I never feel stressed. It's really funny. When I was talking to somebody the other day, and my aura ring says different. My aura ring says I'm constantly in stress mode, but I really don't feel it.
It was actually at dinner on Thursday, we were talking about this,
when
I first met you properly in person. And I think it is interesting because there's different types of kind of being in flow.
Yeah.
And there's types that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then that's a positive, like, you know, dopamine hit, and then there's others that puts us into obviously the cortisol.
Yeah.
So I think the thing is our bodies like being in high activity, and that doesn't mean necessarily it's a bad stress.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about being a woman in business then, and the stresses that we go through, do you see the difference between women in business and men in business? Because I talk to a lot of female founders who have either had societal norms or other stigmas applied to what they're doing in business. They've either come up a barrier, you know, for being a woman or a challenge. What's your view about women in business now? Because I obviously talk a lot about the fact that only like 1.8% of women ever hit seven figures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you see the positives and negatives for women in business right now in 2025?
I mean, I love using my sexuality and, you know, all of those things. I really don't mind ever walking into a room full of men at a networking event and just holding my own. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a massive mindset thing as well. But in terms of in business, gosh, I just think women are so powerful. And I was just thinking today, you know, we've done all these beautiful things today. I can't tell you how many messages, phone calls, all from men needing me. They all need me. All the trades need me. The architects need me. They're all just like, they look up to me like this mother figure. So I think men massively look up to women, whether they think it or not. We lead them. They know we're powerful. We guide them. And I don't think women should ever, you don't ever forget that. You know, to any woman that feels like, oh, it's a man's world, I really don't think it is. And I think I love men. I love the balance of men. I get on with them very, very, very well. And I think because I've got that equality in my head and the balance, I don't, of course, you know, of course you see men get different opportunities than women, but then I think we get better opportunities than them as well. So it's a sort of balancing yin and yang thing. And I don't think we should feel too wounded when we see a man get something that we don't, because we get a lot
absolutely
that they don't get. So, and they would say the same thing. Mm. So
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
So has there been a book or a podcast that you think like absolutely everyone has to read that changed your life?
For a business, I would read the E-Myth. What's the rest of it? The E-Myth, something or other. And again, it was the very first book that my business coach gave me. And it was all about taking yourself out of being in the labor of the business, taking yourself out and being able to run a business and overview it. And I read that and I listened to it all the time in the car, and that helped
I think
massively.
I know what you mean. It's about stepping up as a true CEO, isn't it? And it's how a business comes a business.
Yeah.
And I like, I can't think of the end of it, but we'll put it on the
show. The E-Myth something or other, yeah. It's very, very, very good. It's very good. And it's also about finding, you know, yes, if you are the CEO, but what do you really enjoy doing? Mm. You know, I really didn't enjoy doing the counts. I didn't enjoy that much doing the sales side of it, although I could sell what we do very well. I'm extremely creative, so it was all about delegating and really stepping into what you're good at, not trying to wear all of the hats. And I think that whole delegating word is being used a lot more now, which is super cool because it's crucial. It's crucial.
Absolutely. Gifting and empowering others to do things that
they are
good at.
I love that.
Because I always talk about
you this responsibility.
I'm gifting you this because you love it.
And
I don't. And I said to you before that if something stays on my to-do list, I either have to delegate or declutter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So share with us then what your embarrassing story is, because I always ask my guests to share something. And it has to be juicy, Susie. It has to be juicy. And I know you've got stories.
I'm really struggling with this one. And you threw this at me at the beginning and I'm thinking, what's my embarrassing story? Dawn. Okay. I'm just thinking about what somebody said about. God, can't believe
I love the fact that you are so embarrassed now. I love it when someone gets the cringe just before the story. Then we know it's going to be a good story. So just go for it. Say it.
I think when I was flying, and we were coming back from a long haul, and it was my friend and I on the trolley, and we were taking drinks, and. I had like a really bad cold or something that happened, and she made me laugh. And as I laughed, like all this snot from my cold just came pouring out of my nose into the money tray, which then she was just laughing at and all the passengers saw. And yeah, that's my only real time that I remember was so embarrassing but hilarious at the same time. I think maybe I just deal with things well and I always just laugh it off. I think even if I've fallen or whatever, I can laugh it off. But
I can relate. I definitely have a funny airline story.
Oh, tell me.
It's bad. I don't think I get through the full story. I'm gonna save that for the white party.
Okay, cool.
And I will definitely fill the listeners in later, but for some of the girls who are watching, they will know my story of trying to leap over somebody on an EasyJet flight. And just, let's say, I didn't complete the leap. And
over a chair?
Over a man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, over a man. And obviously, my 6'2" partner made it look really simple, so I tried to emulate it.
Uh-huh.
But when I leapt, I landed. I didn't go over. Straddled.
No. Oh, no.
And got legs stuck under armrest, either side. Lodged, couldn't get out, and the man woke up as I was writhing. Yeah, it was a bad story. But there's plenty of those.
Oh, I love that.
I have a stream of them. So, as your parting gift then for our listeners, what would be like the one thing that you would just want women or anyone in business to remember when you know sometimes you know life is a bit challenging? What's your piece of advice you'd like to gift?
that it always works out.
Yes.
It's the most simple thing, but it always works out. And I think if you just keep that in your head, it'll work out. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then you just have this absolute faith. And, you know, we're talking about religion and things like that. I'm not personally very religious, but I believe in a higher power. And I know people with religions have so much faith that they just know that they're in the hands of something. And yeah, I would always just say that, just it'll work out. It'll work out.
And there's always been times, like I've spoken to lots of people this year who've had really challenging times in business, and I've almost kind of like cathartically burnt the business to the ground and started again.
Mm-hmm.
But like 6 months later, they've said, like, this is the best business I've ever built because they're learning.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we've just got to remember that, you know, in business, things aren't personal.
Mm-hmm.
So when things change,
yeah,
like team, or it could be, you know, a deal doesn't go to plan. It's kind of like it's meant to be. And sometimes we push quite hard, don't we? Because we feel that we want it right now.
Yeah.
But it just means that we're just meant for a different trajectory.
For sure.
So how can people follow you, Susie, and see the journey of the property development?
So my Instagram handle, which I use more than LinkedIn, although I should really do more on LinkedIn, is RSBN, which is Romeo, Susie, Benjamin, Nina. RSBN Developers. And that's it. That's how you can find us on Instagram. And I always try and do as many stories as possible and uploads and things like that. So that's where you'll find me.
Well, thank you for coming in today.
My first podcast.
Oh, amazing. I did not know that.
Yes, my first one.
And we get to go on a private island, have a white party, private chef.
It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool first podcast. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dawn of a New Era, the podcast brought to you in association with the Her Power community. This initiative was founded by myself, and it's all about empowering female founders to recognize their limitless potential and pursue their ambitions with confidence. Now, there is less than 1.8% that goes into investing in female-founded businesses, and we are here to make positive change. So come and support us on Instagram at Her Power community and find out more about what we're doing to support female founders to scale and grow their businesses.